Welcome back, everyone. We are continuing our study in Daniel chapter 9. We will go through the first verse all the way through the 27th verse and see what the Lord has to say to us today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty God, it is with just great humility that I come before you, God, and present myself. A servant to you, Lord, and a servant to your people. For God, it is your word, and I am but your lowly servant to come and to pour water over your people. For your word is water and life to us, Lord. And you are no respecter of persons, Lord. I humble myself before you and before your people and ask, God, that you would be glorified in the breaking open of this bread, and that you would be magnified in the hearts of those who receive, God, what you have for them. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to grow your people, that you would continue to take them from precept to precept and from faith to faith, God, and they would continue to grow greatly in their love for you and the understanding of your word, and that their hearts and my heart would be prepared for your return. In Jesus' name, amen. We are looking now at Daniel chapter 9, and one thing that I did want to point out, that in the first verse, we understand the time which Daniel was praying, historically, because it tells us, it says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. So we know that it was the first year of Darius. And that in Scripture we have historical figures and dates. But I want us to remember that Scripture is not a history book per se, but a story of redemption. It is the love of God for His creation. It is God from Genesis through Revelation redeeming mankind and bringing him back to the place where he belongs. The first verse we see the Babylonian reign is over. The Medes and the Persians now rule over the entire empire. Daniel is an old man and in his late 70s or early 80s. We're not exactly sure because we're not exactly sure how old he was when he was taken. So it's a guesstimate, and you can read different commentaries and you can disagree with me if you want to concerning his age. I'm not sure. I'm having to take their word on it because it doesn't say how old he was when he was taken into captivity. Verse 2 says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years and the desolations of Jerusalem. So, this is a great insight into the life of Daniel. There's so much more here than just a historical thing that is written about the first year of Darius or what Jeremiah had to say. It is just an intimate look into the life of Daniel. Remember, he was taken as a captive to serve in the king's court in Babylon. He was taken in his early teens, is what we believe. 13, 15 maybe. From his family, from his homeland, and the temple of God, where he grew up worshiping God until the age that he was taken. Daniel would have heard Jeremiah's warnings. They were contemporaries. Daniel was in the palace in his captivity, and Ezekiel was among the captives in their settlements where the Babylonians had placed them when they took them captive. Some were put in the palace, those whom they deemed beautiful, and probably those from the royal family. We know that God has used Daniel in the palace of Babylon to interpret for pagan kings dreams and visions, to serve these kings also. Daniel went to pagan schools. He was surrounded by idol worshippers from all over the kingdom, because you have to remember that everywhere Nebuchadnezzar went, he took the best, and then the best of the best he brought into his palace, and he had them trained. And so Daniel and his three friends, they were just part of that. There was a multitude from all the kingdoms that had been conquered. So Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, they were there, and they were in thrown into this, to be schooled into this, to be brainwashed and to forget their homeland. But Daniel has kept his faith in God Almighty through the threat of death by sword, through the schooling, lion's dens. Daniel has kept his faith in spite of being surrounded by jealousy and accusers. Daniel has been faithful to honor God in everything he did. All these decades, he's been doing this. I want you to see this, family of God. Daniel continued praying and reading God's word throughout his life. He didn't reach a certain age and say, "Oh, I've served God all these decades, but now it's me time." He didn't say, "Oh, I've been here all this time and God doesn't care. God must not exist. I just need to accept these other gods." No. Daniel's faith did not diminish. That's what we see here at the very beginning. That Daniel's faith, all of these decades, did not diminish. He did not stop praying. He did not stop believing. He did not stop reading the Word of God. What he had there with him in captivity, he continued these practices. He continued looking to God, and his faith was evident. That's why there were so many that were jealous of him and constantly accused him. And at this moment, Daniel is reading Jeremiah chapter 25 and chapter 29. And remember, there were no chapters when Daniel had it. So he was probably reading through the writings of Jeremiah that had been sent to the captives there in Babylon. And I would encourage you, so that I'm not going to do it, but I would encourage you to go and to read this for yourself. I've already read it, but I want you to read it for yourself, and then you can just fact check me if you want to. And he understood, because of reading that, all of a sudden, he understood what God had spoken to Jeremiah, that he would be, and that there would be an end to this captivity of his people and a return for them to Jerusalem. And that end was 70 years, was the appointed time. And it was almost there, because Daniel knew how long he had been in captivity. Daniel knew when they were taken. Did it start from the first captives? Because remember, they took captives three times. Or did it start with the second or the third? I don't know. But Daniel knew, and he understood this. So we believe that if it began with Daniel, he's been there around 67 years. So let's look at what Daniel does in response to this revelation. When you get a revelation in Scripture, it always calls for a response. It calls for a response, whether it be that it's humbled your heart, convicted your heart, or it tells you to get up and to go. Whatever it is, there is always a response from the people of God to the revelation of God. Let's look at verses 3 through 19. I'm going to read, I'll just probably read them along as we go. I'm not going to just read through them. "Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes." So first thing that Daniel does when he reads this, he sets his face toward the Lord God to make requests. He's requesting of the Lord. He set his face. That means that he is determined and will not be distracted nor deterred from this course. There is also a scripture in Luke 9, verse 51, where Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem. It's coming time for him to be crucified. And so he sets his face. He's determined. He's not going to be swayed. He's not going to let anything take him off course. And this is what Daniel has done. He is only speaking to God about this revelation that he has received. And we also see that he's denying his appetite. He's fasting. He's not going to stop in the middle of his prayers to go make lunch, to have a sandwich. He is denying his body. He says that we are determined, we are going to go before God with this matter. And he has clothed himself with sackcloth and thrown ashes upon himself. Now I want you to understand that I am not pointing my finger at anyone. This scripture is convicting enough for me that when God gives us something that we need to begin to set our face towards it, it requires an action. Daniel didn't take to social media. He did not call a conference meeting and want to charge people to come and hear what had been revealed to him. He didn't reveal this revelation to anyone else. He did not call a prayer meeting. We don't even see where he called his friends to come join him. Daniel is reading God's word. God gave him revelation, and Daniel knew what he was to do. Pray. Pray. Look to the one who could answer him. Amen? That's what he was to do. He had to go to God. There was not another person on the earth who could answer this but God. Daniel was going to make his plea to the one who held the universe. Daniel did not want to stop prayer meeting to meet the needs of his stomach. He fasted. He put on sackcloth, meaning he took off the robes of the palace, soft silk, and put on a coarse, rough fabric woven from flax or hemp. It could even be from camel hair. Scratchy. This was worn as a sign of mourning or repentance, as was the ashes. Remember Mordecai when he heard what Haman had proposed? And remember the prophet Elijah? He wore camel's hair. Let's look at verse 4. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. Daniel begins his prayer with confession. He addresses God in who he is, great and awesome. In his character, he keeps covenant and is merciful. Daniel has been here since a young man of around 15, is what we'll say. And what we've read so far about his life does not reflect the sins he is confessing, but he is identifying with his people. But Daniel understood he was in Babylon and why he was in Babylon. He understood why Jerusalem was devastated, why the temple was destroyed. Daniel understood, and he understands God is holy. Daniel is not holy, nor is his people. Because the Jewish leaders in politics, in the temple, and the people would not heed the warnings God was sending by his prophets, by Jeremiah. They would not repent. They continued to go after other gods to serve them and worship them. They provoked the Lord by not listening to him with the works of their hands. The nation was disgraceful. They looked at other nations, at their gods, at their worship, and they envied them. Listen to verses 5 and 6 and 7. So we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled even by departing from your precepts, your principles, and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, and to our kings and our princes, to our fathers, and to the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is to this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those near and far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. Oh my goodness. Daniel identified with his people. Who else identified with sinful people? We know Jesus. When he went to the cross, he took our sins upon himself. He became sin that our sins were forgiven. He paid the price that we might go free. Listen, Daniel, even though he was identifying and confessing the sin, he could not save his people. But Jesus, when he identified with us, he's forever identified with us. Because the one sitting on the throne is Jesus. As he took on the form of man, he has gone back to heaven. And he sits on the throne as a man with scars in his hands and his feet. And he is forever identified with the human race, with those that he has saved. Amen? Daniel was confessing the sins of his people. He was identifying with them, but he could not save them, but Jesus did. Daniel begins confession. They had sinned against God, that they were rebellious. They had departed from the principles and the judgments, and that we would not listen to your prophets that you sent to us. Listen, God is a God of mercy. He is a God who loves his people, and he gives us every opportunity. He sends prophets. He sends words to us. He has his written word that we can read that we might be convicted of our sins and repent. It is repentance that God is looking for. Daniel confesses God alone is righteous, but shame belongs to us, even to this day. Even to this day, all of Judah, and I'm saying even to this day with Daniel's day, all of Judah, those still in Jerusalem, all of Israel, those who were far away in foreign lands, those who remain there, they are still unfaithful before you, God. When the enemy came, I want you to think about this for a moment. When the enemy came to Jerusalem, there was no repentance in the church. I mean, temple. There was no repentance among the pastors. Oh, I mean the priests. There was no repentance in the Congress, the Senate, the president, the governors. Oh, no. I mean the kings, the princes, or governors. There was no repentance among the congregation, among the people of God. Those who were called by his name, there was no repentance. Daniel says, we are shameful. We cannot hold our head up in any nation, for we have forsaken our God. Church, hear that. He says, we are shameful because we agree with the politics of the world. We cannot hold our head up in any nation, for we have forsaken our God and we have taken the gods of this world. How can we represent God, the God of Scripture? He is not many. He is one. He calls us sinners needing a Savior. That's why Jesus came. He is not like the world and says, oh, you are good. Just pat yourself on the back. We have sinned, as Daniel has prayed. He says, we have sinned. What do the church leaders say today? I want us to just take a moment and live in this time right now. Oh, church, you made a mistake, but God understands. We sin and confess, and God forgives. Oh, you're in love. You're married, but you see another, and you're in love with another. And then you see another, and you're in love with another. You see perversion, and you're in love with perversion. Oh, but God understands, because it's love. We can't say that there is only one way to be saved. The whole world can't be wrong. Only Scripture can be wrong. Look at how pious this religion is. Look at how free this religion is. There are no hang-ups. They are not uptight. We are not sinners. God is how you perceive Him. He accepts you just as you are. You don't have to change. In Genesis God made man in His image. Today, man makes God in His image. That's what a sinful heart does. That's what false religion does. They will fashion and mold a God of their own making. But Daniel says that's why we are where we are. The church believes that repentance, sinner, forgiveness, obedience, and all of those words, they are archaic words, outdated, not for the modern church. I am not a part of the modern church. I am a part of the church of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. What church are you a part of? What do you stand on? You can only stand on the Word of God. Every other word in this world is sand that shifts beneath your feet and you will sink. We accept all faith and God is good. Does this sound familiar today to you? It was the same thing in Daniel's day. There is nothing new on the earth, is there? Let's look at verses 8 through 12. O Lord God, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws, which He set before us by His servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against Him. And He has confirmed His word which He spoke against us and against our judges who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. Daniel says we have not obeyed. All of this, you may think, oh, this was written so long ago. How could it apply? You listen to these words. You allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. This really happened, but now the Holy Spirit wants to make it real to you in your life. And in the life of the church of God Almighty, Daniel says, we have not obeyed. All Israel has transgressed. We have sinned. Rebellion is rampant against God's word and His prophets. The king set up idols. He brings in pagan priests. He cuts up the word of God and burns it. The priest are yes men to the kings and politicians to stay in good standing and are participating in all the rebellion and they're leading the people astray. That's why God calls us sheep. We're just followers. Listen, this is what the priests are saying, the pastors are saying. If the king wants this and we want to keep the temples open and keep our jobs, we will agree with the king and lead the people as the king desires. Does it sound familiar? Are you going along with everyone else? Or are you going to stand on the word of God? You stand on this rock and you cannot be shaken. You stand on the word of all the world and all of their false religions, their idols, and it will shift and sink. You will sink with it. Listen, it's one thing to be a conservative politically, but we are to be a Christian, Christ follower all the time in every area of our life. Not just politically, not just in church, but everywhere. In our family, in our day to day, everywhere we go. Listen, in everyday life we are to be a Christian, Christ follower. In everyday life, and there, when we look at the issues that are out there, we need to go to God's Word. Where does God stand on the issue? Where does God stand on the issue of abortion? Where does God stand on the issue of child mutilation? Where does God stand on the issue of a perverse lifestyle? Where does God stand on the issue of adultery? Where does God stand on the issue of idolatry? We are to be Christians in our life. We are to be Christians in our churches, not follow the crowd, not follow the voices of today in Christian circles with the singers and the preachers who are deconstructing their faith, deconstructing, they're tearing it down. Listen, they became famous, made lots of money, they wrote books, had popular songs, and they were just the cat's meow in the Christian world. And now all of a sudden they've grown weary in that. Now they want adoration from the world. It was never that they were doing this unto God to bring God glory, but they began to receive the glory and they wanted to replace God from His throne. Does it sound familiar? Does it sound like Lucifer? And so then they began to deconstruct their faith. They have such influence in the church. And so their faith and everything, they want to be accepted by the world now. They want to run the circuit. They want to be on all the talk shows. They have turned their back on God. And they want to take you with them. Listen, you may have a favorite singer, but you better know where they stand on God. Where they're standing with God or against God. They may be your favorite author. They may be your favorite teacher. But when they begin to stray, you run from them. You do not follow them. You stand on the Word of God, not the people that you've looked up to before. Because if they begin to fall, you do not want to fall with them. Those are the people who want the church to look like an organization, a club that is based on the idea of love. Listen, not the love of God that He sent His only begotten Son to die for sinners. If there are no sinners, why did Jesus come? Oh no, they don't want a bloody sacrifice. They tell themselves they are good. They want the church just to look like the world. Well, we are not like the world. And the church came to be because of the death of Christ on the cross. When He shed His blood, He birthed the church. And when He went back to heaven, He sent His Holy Spirit to empower the church, to give us insight, to give us understanding, to give us strength, to prepare His bride, to bring us home. Daniel confesses, God confirmed His word spoken against us. Daniel says, yes, God, You did it. But where are we? By what has happened to Jerusalem and His temple? Where are we? Where are we? We are exactly where You said we would be. Verses 13 and 14. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand Your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which He does, though we have not obeyed His voice. Listen, it is written in our law is what Daniel is saying. He's talking about the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 28, go back and read that. It's blessings on obedience, it's curses on disobedience. And Daniel says, look, he says that, therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous. Listen, it just like it was written in the law of Moses, the Jewish people were to read the law once a year. It was to remind them every year. And so, what God had given Moses and He had written down in the book of Deuteronomy. And remember now, when He stood up on that mountain and they read the blessings, they said yes and amen. When He read the cursings on disobedience, they said yes and amen. They agreed with what God said. But Daniel says, no, all this has come upon us because of we have not. The nation of Israel was not ignorant. They chose to turn away. The church is not ignorant. They are not ignorant in these days. And God is faithful to His Word. He has to be faithful to His Word. To deny His Word would be to deny Himself. Remember, the Jews did not repent at the reading of the Word, at the warning of the prophets. How many sit in churches today that are led by God-fearing pastors, and when they hear the Word, they just sit there and they're thinking about something else. Their mind is somewhere else. They're playing with their phones. They're having conversations with one another or someone else. They're planning their day as soon as church is over. When the pastor brings a warning, how many of them think, oh, how many times is he going to say this? How many times do we have to hear this? But it doesn't bring them to repentance. They continued on in their sin. Where is the church today? Why do I keep saying that? I'm not trying to beat up the church. Folks, listen to me. All we have to do is we just have to look and see the foolishness, the things that are going on in the church to even understand what was going on in Daniel's day is no different than what is going on today. Listen, the only way they can draw big crowds is they have a praise and worship team that's as big as the stage, but they are not focused on the Lord. They have a light show. They have fog because they want it to look like it's God appearing in smoke. They all dress like they just went... Forgive me. I can't even believe there is no reverence to bring your best so that eyes are not focused on you. It's all about trying to get you to jump up and scream and listen. Out of a heart of praise, we need to open our mouth and we need to shout glory to God, but not to draw attention to ourselves, but because God is worthy, God is great. What do the churches do today to draw crowds in? Coffee shops, they have every kind of worldly meeting that you can think of. They focus on all the issues of today in the sense to reaffirm them, when the preaching of the Word should address them. They have meetings for every possible age you could think of, so that you don't even have to attend the service. The gathering of the saints to come together so that the worship of God takes place. I just need to leave that alone. Daniel confesses God does not forget, and He is righteous in all the works which He does. God is right in this. He is absolutely right in what He has done. In verse 15, "And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name, as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly." Daniel's prayer now is going to start to change from confession and repentance. The first thing he does is he comes in and he confesses the sin. And he's repented of the sin. But now his prayer is beginning to change. He's beginning to remind God, "God, you are the one who delivered your people from Egypt. You delivered us. And it was with a mighty hand that you delivered us, and you made yourself a name. Even today, people know what you did for us." They know. They remember, and it's talked about what God did for the Israelite people when He brought them out of Egypt. "But we are wicked sinners." Daniel 16. "O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for our iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those nations around us. Daniel is coming to God on the very basis of who he is. God, you are righteous. You are righteous, God. In all your righteousness, God, turn your anger and fury from Jerusalem. From Jerusalem, your holy mountain. Because of our sin, your people are a reproach to everyone. God is saying, Daniel is saying, God, you are righteous, not us. So, God, I plead with you to turn that anger and fury away. He says that Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. What does that mean? It means, God, everyone knows what you did for us. Everyone knows the great strength and might of your hand and how you brought us out and how you have kept us. But God, in all of that time, we turned against you and you had to be faithful to accomplish your word, even against your own people. So we have become a reproach, and so is Jerusalem, and that means that people reproach you, God. What we have done to your name, God, we have not brought glory to your name, we have not brought honor to your name, as the whole world looks at us and your Jerusalem, your holy mountain, and they are just looking and saying, look, what they claim their God did for them, but look at them now. They have turned against him. Look at the filth and the wickedness in Jerusalem. Look at what they have put in the temple that is called by his name. Who wants to serve that God? Who wants to serve that God? I want you to think about that. As you go through your day, I want you to think about that. What are you doing to God's name? Verse 17, now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. Oh God, hear me. Hear my petitions that are before your throne, God. God, look to your sanctuary. It's desolate. It is desolate, God. I'm asking that you would look and you would, Lord, turn that around. In verse 18, he says, oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Hear me, God. Open your eyes and see our desolation. See, oh God, and the city which is called by your name, for we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Turn your ear to hear us, God. Open your eyes to see this desolation. We in the city that are called by your name, you can't separate us, God, from this. You put your name here and you put your name upon us, God. Listen, it is the same today. The church belongs to Jesus. Who is the church? I am the church. You are the church. And when we come together, we are the corporate church. And look at how the church has smeared the name and the reputation of our Lord and Savior. We are rotting. We look no different than the world. I'm not saying me or you per se, but I'm saying the church at large, because we want everyone to accept us. So we accept every vile sin in the doors of the church. And when they're preached from the pulpit, they come into our hearts. And the world still laughs at us. They make fun of us and our Jesus, our Lord, because we don't believe what we preach. That's why. That's why they did that with Israel, with the Jewish people. Because they didn't believe it. They didn't live it. The world wasn't accepting their message because they were accepting the world's message. Why would the world accept the church's message if we keep changing it? Jesus and the Word of God. God changes not. He doesn't change. He's not ever changing, ever evolving. No. No. Why would His church change? You figure that out. Verse 19. Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city, for your people are called by your name. This is all about the name and the reputation. This is about the holiness, the righteousness of God. He's saying, God, forgive us. For your name's sake, for your glory. Do this for your glory, God, so that the world will stop reproaching you. God, your deeds are righteous and your mercy is great. Hear us, O Lord. Forgive us, O Lord. Listen and act and do not delay. Why? Why is Daniel praying this way? He says it, listen, it is for your own sake. It is for your city. For your people and your name, amen and amen. Church is here to bring glory to God. The church is here to lift up a risen Savior who has defeated sin and death. Do you live this way that you serve a Savior who has defeated sin, death, and the grave? Or do you live defeated, looking for a positive message? Someone to affirm you. Someone to come alongside you. Because you're so down and depressed by the happenings of the world, by the events in your own life, by losses, by problems. Listen, I'm not saying that sometimes we don't get down, but we got to look to the one who can lift our head. I'm not saying sometimes that we don't say, Lord, I don't understand. But God is there to say, listen, I am with you through this. I am with you in the depths. I am with you in the heights. I am with you in the everyday. There is nowhere that you will go that I will not be with you. I am your shield. I am the one who gives you light when it's darkness all around you. I am your joy. Your joy is your salvation. Your happiness is your circumstance. God is the one who will carry us through. Now, church, do you believe it? Do you believe He's who He says He is? What this word says about Him? Listen, Daniel says, God, you are just. You are right to judge the church. You are right in every work. Is the church crying out for forgiveness? Are we repenting, confessing? Jerusalem did not in the time before its captivity, nor in the 70 years of captivity. You will not find it. But Daniel has read and understands, and he is standing in the gap for the nation. He is repenting and confessing for the nation, all because Daniel knows his God. He knows that God is faithful to His Word, and what He says, He will do. Daniel found hope when he read Jeremiah. He found hope. God gave him a purpose. God gave him something to do, that he would begin to be a part of God's plan. What do you find when you read the Word? Now let's look at verse 20. Now while I was speaking, praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. Oh my goodness, Daniel is praying. He's gotten this revelation. He's praying. Surprise! Right in the middle of his prayer, God sends an angel. He sends this angel Gabriel to him. And Daniel recognized him from his previous vision. Daniel's praying and he was there. And he's come there to give Daniel a message. And it's important that Daniel mentions the time of the day of the evening sacrifice. Even though there has not been an evening sacrifice in Jerusalem at the temple in almost 70 years, there hasn't been one since the Babylonians came in. They've not done that. Daniel knew what time of day it was because he had not forgotten. That's why he was able to record that. He knew at what time of day it was that Gabriel came, when he was praying, in all the time that he was praying, and he knew what time it was when Gabriel appeared to him. Because he would have seen, when he was growing up there, the smoke rising from the temple at this time of day. This was a special time of day. This was when Moses offered the Passover lamb. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 6, look it up and read it. It's when Jesus was crucified. Matthew 27, 45, look it up and read it. Gabriel, the angel, informed and talked with Daniel. Now let's look at 22 and 23. And Daniel informed me and talked with me, and he said, O Daniel, I have come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command or the word went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. He has come, first of all, he's not answering Daniel's prayer, because God has already revealed the answer to that prayer in Jeremiah 25 and 29. You go back and you read it for yourself now. That God's already shown him the answer to that prayer. But Daniel is repenting because that is what is needful, because there has been no repentance. He's going to give him skill and understanding of a vision that he is about to have. He said, at the beginning of your supplications, the word went out for me to come, and I have come to tell you. And Daniel had read Jeremiah and realized why he was there, and that the time of God's judgment against Jerusalem was almost over. God had a beginning and an end. We see that so much of the time, and we know that there is going to be an end to this time also, and there will be a beginning of a forever rule with Jesus. But there will come an end to this, and then there will be a beginning. He has set his face, he's humbled himself with sackcloth and ashes, but here he is in this state. Gabriel was given the command from God himself, seated upon his throne, hearing Daniel. Not one word that Daniel had spoken that we've read escaped God or escaped his hearing. And he said, Gabriel, go to Daniel. I have a vision that I'm going to give to him, but there is something that you must tell him. You must tell Daniel, you are greatly beloved. God, upon his throne, and hearing his servant Daniel, he said, go tell Daniel, you are greatly beloved. As I pondered on this, I was and I am right now overwhelmed by the love of God for his servant. How much God loves us. And when we are on our knees, when we have humbled ourselves and we repent of our sins, how great is his love and his forgiveness. And he wants us to know that we are loved. And he wanted Daniel to know that he was greatly beloved. I thought on this. Now, this is not written in scripture, but these are my thoughts about this message that Gabriel brings to Daniel. This old man, as a youth, had been snatched from everyone and everything he knew, everything he loved, and those that loved him. He was put in a hostile foreign land with foreign customs and languages. He was stripped of his ability to have a family of his own. His whole purpose of life then was that, it's what the kings of the foreign land saw, that he was to serve them. He was to be trained to serve them his entire life. Daniel did not have a family to say, we love you. He did not have a wife to whisper in his ear, I love you, or children to run and say, I love you. But our God and our Father at every age knows exactly what we need and when we need it. And I believe Daniel needed to hear, you are greatly loved. As Daniel was pouring out his heart, and he was so humbled by the word of God that he had read, he says, Gabriel, you go to my servant. I have a vision for him, but this is what you are to tell him first. You are greatly beloved. Gabriel gives this word to Daniel, and then the vision. Remember that Daniel was praying for the return to Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple and the restoration of his people. Well, the answer to that was already recorded in Jeremiah, as I told you. In 70 years, I will bring you back. Daniel was doing what had not been done. The people had not repented, and Daniel repented. He took it on as a whole, and he repented. Verses 24 through 27. 70 weeks, now this is the vision that he gets. Now 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity. To bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem, until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Now, you may be disappointed in me, and you may just say, I don't want to hear anything else. I'm not listening. But there are literally thousands of preachers who preach and teach on these very verses right here out of Daniel. These are just their main focus because it is prophetic. It is about the coming of the Messiah. It is about the death and burial and return. It is about the Antichrist. It is about the time period, and they can go through all of that and they can point to all these different time periods. There's going to be troublesome times, destructions, desolations, even until the consummation, completion, which is determined. There is a certain time God's final wrath is poured out, and there is a new heaven and earth, and the holy city comes down. God so loved Daniel that he took him to the future. Daniel was praying for just a few years in the immediate future that would come in the restoration of Jerusalem. But God wanted to show Daniel something else. He took him to the future to see the Messiah, how his people would respond. Daniel saw when he read 25 and 29 how the people responded, and now he's going to see. It's not going to be any different. He showed Daniel the enemy and Daniel's Jerusalem and the sanctuary. He said, put your seal on this vision and prophecy, Daniel, because this is from God Almighty. But it's not now. He knows that this is future. That Daniel won't see this, and this won't come about anytime soon. But we know that what Daniel saw, God also showed to the Apostle John. And John was also greatly beloved. Daniel was praying for one answer, and God revealed to Daniel the future. I am trying to just be able to stand up here and talk about our God. Does God ever enter in to your reading of the Word and just come in and so fill that place where you are with His love, with His presence that you can't stand, that you can't read another word because your eyes are so filled with tears, not tears of sorrow, but tears that God Almighty would come down to you, that He would come and inhabit the place where you are sitting with your word, where you are praying. Does God ever do that to you? That's what God has done with me in this scripture. I was so struggling with how to go forward with the prophetic, and God said, oh, there's a multitude out there who've already done this. But how many have stopped and revealed my great love for those that I have redeemed? God let Daniel know that He loved him. And if you want to see all the details to this section of scripture, the books would fill a room. Online cannot be exhausted with all the teaching. But how many are encouraging you with, Daniel, you are greatly beloved. We are not forgotten. God has not removed Himself from His children. He does not have a deaf ear to our prayers, and He is not blind to our needs. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How's that for a message? Now that is straight from the mouth of Jesus. It is recorded in the book of John, and it was Jesus. He recorded for us. He says, you are loved. You are loved. Amen and amen.